when I read Where the Wild Things Are to my son, he applauds at the end of it.
Vern, I love you, but you know, everybody has a right to their opinion, even if it's wrong, and I'm glad you're exercising your rights.
I have a movie pitch to make to all of you that I want to hear. It's either would be a great movie or the best movie ever. So I want to know which one you think it is.
That includes Weird Al, I'm out.
But
I'm with Bud. Say one more movie with Weird Al.
All right, Phil, let's hit the music. Welcome back. Here we are with the second mini podcast of the month. And this time, you know, we're thinking about, we're going to bring out the feels. Okay. You're going to get a little bit of an behind the curtain look at us. Okay. We're going to get a little vulnerable. Ladies, turn up the dials, but we're going to hit you with kind of what gets us a little, you know, choked up when we watch our favorite sports movies, maybe what hits us in the feels a little bit. So bring in a couple of my friends, since I knew they weren't busy, and see what they thought about the topic. So I've got Phil with me. I'm Josh. Bud's with me as well. We've also got Brad and Rob. So
oh, you know I wasn't busy.
He knows that none of us have lives.
Hey, just call a spade a spade. It's all right. I'm including myself in that group. Hey, I'm here too. So, all right, I'm going to ask Rob to kick us off here and see what he thinks as far as, you know, if, you know, none of us cry, you know, I want that on the record. Okay, anybody listening? But, you know, if
I
it gets
cry.
Us kind of
like, I cry all the time. Yeah. When I stub my toe and when I get a boo-boo, I cry. It happens, man.
Well, any movies hit you in the feels, Rob, here?
Man, lots of movies hit me in the feels. All right, for me, it's to really hit me in that right place, you know, I would say it needs to kind of be a bit of a historical drama type movie for me. The fictional feels contrived, particularly in sports movies. But, you know, you have like a movie such as like Cinderella Man. That is a really tough movie to watch, particularly in like the first, you know, 30-40 minutes of that movie. That's pretty rough. You got a guy who's completely down and out to the point where he's begging, openly begging. I mean, that Russell Crowe hits all the notes in that one scene, dude. Mm-hmm. He takes off his hat and he's in the bar and he has a sob story about how his kids are being taken away and how he's 19 bucks short, which, you know, I think the movie was in the 1931 or 1939, somewhere in that time period. I think it's the Great Depression. Hell, man, $19, that's a lot of money to be behind back in those days. And he's got his former manager, you know, who's with him, and he comes up short after he goes through the bar and he goes over to his friend, his former manager, and he goes, well, how short are you? I mean, you got nothing to apologize for. And pulls out his wallet and gives him, you know, the money to make up the difference. Well, a couple scenes later, we come to find out, well, he's had to sell all of his furniture, everything that he's got. And there's something about just that reveal that really hit me really hard. Mm-hmm. And geez, that's friendship right there. You're broke. You don't have anything, but your friend is in that dire straits that, and without even questioning, you know, you pull out his wallet and give him the money. I'll admit there's a tear or two in that, definitely.
That's a good one. Yeah.
It's an excellent choice. That movie is extremely, that's a good emotional movie. It really is. Yeah. Strongly recommend if you haven't seen it.
Well, Bud, what would you say?
I mean, honestly, it was hard for me to take this question seriously, but I did pick a serious one and I picked kind of a funny one. My funny one is the great yet extremely underrated Will Ferrell movie called Kicking and Screaming. By far, my favorite character in that film is the Mike Ditka neighbor / assistant coach character.
Juice box boy.
And when they have their blow up on the sideline, Will Ferrell proceeds to tell him that his only job is to agree with him and to get him juice boxes. Now go get me a juice box. And Mike Ditka proceeds to get flaming peeved, if you will, and says, "Who do you think you're talking to?" And storms off. And that was a little bit sad for me because I felt like the Mike Ditka character was a really, really solid add to that film.
Yeah.
And this might be foreshadowing for one of my choices on the pod at some point. But that's kind of my funny one. My serious one, Cinderella Man is an awesome movie. But since Rob already took that, when Rudy finally gets on the field and even like kind of makes a tackle and everybody's cheering for him after like he put in so much work, like just to get to that point, and you knew how much it meant to him. Mm-hmm. Like that kind of choked me up a little. That movie, another excellent movie, and I'm sure we'll do a pod about it eventually, but just everything he had to overcome just to get that one opportunity. Now, I felt the movie kind of killed it, I think, like, you know, when they carried him off the field and stuff like that. But, you know, just like everything he overcame to get to that point, you know, I feel like most people can relate to that. Like they've had some kind of obstacle, some kind of goal they really wanted and the obstacles they faced along the way and what they had to overcome to get there. Like, so, I mean, I feel like it's emotional, but also very relatable to most people. So that's my serious one.
And then continuing to show his family in the stands and his dad, yes, who kind of,
and his dad actually went to go watch him,
yeah, and who kind of poo-pooed his whole journey and didn't really believe in him, and to show them in the stands supporting him and actually being there, which they never thought would happen, adds to the drama and probably the feels that you might have.
And Vince Vaughn, who we talked about in our previous,
he plays Jamie.
Our previous pod was a surprise actor. I remember last time I watched that movie, it had been several years since I'd seen it. I was like, is that Vince Vaughn? I totally forgot he was even in this movie.
He's the one who pitches
and really he gave up his jersey, yeah, for him. So that's a little, a circle back to our last pod.
Well, Phil, I wonder if Bud kind of took one of your choices there, but go ahead.
It was not actually one of my choices. Rudy is my all-time favorite sports movies. But whenever I think of, and I want to on the record that I actually don't mind crying. And I think it's very healthy to let out a good cry for anybody listening.
My therapist says it's good for me.
But anyways, there's one movie that I can think of when I think of what movie makes you cry. And it's a 1971 movie. It's been remade, but that's not as good as the first one. Brian's Song.
Yeah.
About Brian Piccolo and Gale Sayers. And it's the detail of Piccolo's life and him coming down with terminal cancer during civil rights, the time in the 60s when segregation was happening everywhere. And it was a black and a white football player that roomed together and became best friends. And whenever Brian Piccolo gets cancer, it shows Gale Sayers helping him and pushing him. And just like earlier in the movie, when Gale Sayers gets injured, Brian Piccolo is the one that pushes him and tries to make him better. And that it's the James Caan, Billy Dee Williams one is the one that always gets to me. Mm-hmm. The remake is good with Mikey Pfeiffer, but it's not near as good as that 71 version, in my opinion. I enjoyed it, but it doesn't do the same thing to me as the James Caan, Billy Dee Williams one. But that one always gets to me. And I also love it. It's one that I could watch numerous times. It's one of my favorite movies as well.
Brian's Song is good.
It was.
Yeah.
And based on a true story, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, the real life Brian Piccolo died at 26. Yeah. It was testicular cancer, actually. Yeah.
And Gale Sayers ended up wasn't a star in the NFL. Like, he wasn't just like a role.
Yeah, I know. No, he's a Hall of Famer.
Well, he's the greatest Kansas Jayhawk football player ever.
Yeah. They have a statue of him, don't they? They unveiled it this year or something, right? Outside their football stadium.
Mm-hmm. They should.
They should.
He's the only guy I've ever heard of, you know, that's, or the biggest deal anyway, that's played for Kansas.
Hey, there's a key.
Well, you're not a big
Aqib Talib. Yeah,
let's not. Aqib Talib fan.
Definitely on the same plane as Gale Sayers. Though he did carve himself out a decent NFL career. But. All right. Well, hey, Brad, do you have, those are great. But Brad, do you have a good one?
Well, Josh, I'm so glad you asked. when we had put this topic up to start thinking about, I really didn't know where I was going to go with it exactly. And it happened to be one weekend I was outside brewing some lovely alcoholic goodness. And I came inside for a couple. And while I was waiting on something and my wife had TV on, and a movie that I think all of us have probably seen quite a few times was in a certain scene that I was like, yeah, that's pretty, that'll get you. It was a great movie set in the 40s called A League of Their Own.
I love that movie.
You know, the scene that I walked in on was when, I can't remember if it was after practice or after a game, but it doesn't really matter. But one of the messenger guys comes in, because keep in mind, this was set during World War II, which is the whole reason the league started in the first place, was the men were off fighting. And I think the character's name was Betty, but one of the girls on the team had a messenger walk through, and everybody just kind of stared, and the messenger stopped at her to tell her that her husband had been killed in action. And, you know, just the thought of they're trying to do something good to bring up this great, a little bit of positivity in the world and the country while everything's looking so negative. And, but at the same time, the sacrifice that everybody's going through, and it hits right there at home while they're trying to do something good. And then having all the other girls rally around her and all that. And I think, I mean, I'm not going to lie, hell, it hits me a little talking about it. Cause I mean, I think a lot of us, whether we had parents, grandparents, or whatever, somehow connected to military, even just had close friends or knew people, you know, that could easily have been any of our relatives or anything like that that had happened back in this time. And I think it seems really real the way they approached it. And so I think that's why that gets to me.
Yeah.
That's a great choice.
Can we talk about Tom Hanks and how he's never been in an actually bad movie?
I know.
Can you think of any movies Tom Hanks has been in that were actually not good?
No.
Yeah. Not off. I mean, it's kind of amazing. Like, what other actor can say that?
He's fantastic. Like,
you think about a lot of his recent ones, though. I never want to go on vacation with him. I mean, a plane crashes, or he ends up lost on an island, or he's
on a ship.
And he gets the Somalian pirates come and take over his ship.
Yeah,
and hold on. I mean, I'm not going anywhere with that guy.
I don't know, man. I'd hang out with Forrest Gump, man. Everywhere he went, he just either got famous or made money.
You have to remember that with Tom Hanks, his first role that was of any actual consequence, I believe, was Bosom Buddies.
With Peter Scolari.
I want to say it's like 1980 or 1981 comedy where he is in drag. It's a weird.
If anybody wants to see it, I have the whole show on DVD because I
really
crazy, man. I love Bosom Buddies.
Or then the great Tom Hanks movie Big, which our friends Phil and Rob did a musical number of back in the day.
Forgot about that. That's where I first remember Tom Hanks, Big, and then Turner and Hooch. Which was also good.
Where was Splash in that? Was Splash his first movie?
What?
I think so. Although I don't think I ever saw Splash.
Splash was his first movie.
Hey, bud, if you've never seen it, you should actually see it just for John Candy being the brother in that movie. It's hilarious. His role is just ridiculously
I think funny. That's his first starring role, or more of a starring role. His first movie is the 1980 horror flick called He Knows You're Alone. So if anybody's ever seen He Knows You're Alone from 1980, he plays Elliot.
So we're going to go with, yes, Tom Hanks has starred in some crap. No one worries about
how many good movies has he been in?
Yeah, but he's made so many great movies.
I mean, have you guys seen Philadelphia?
Oh, I love it. Awesome.
Amazing movie.
Both him and won the Academy Award, I think.
Amazing.
But yeah, the vast majority of stuff he's done has been good. I mean, I would give it at least a 9.5 out of 4 stars.
Well, here's the thing with Tom Hanks in general. All right, you gave him back-to-back Academy Awards, so he won for Philadelphia. And then the next year was Forrest Gump. At that point, he's been tapped out. The Academy Awards, you think about, he was Saving Private Ryan, Castaway. The Green Mile. The Green Mile is an excellent one. What was the Sully movie? Have you all seen that one?
I haven't seen Sully.
Oh, my God. He is jaw-dropping in that. He was also
David S. Pumpkins on SNL.
Never forget how funny Tom Hanks actually is as a comic.
Yeah,
he's probably the most decorated comic
He's very versatile. And, you know, there's not a lot these days that can do that seamlessly from one kind of a movie, one kind of a role to another. Now, to somewhat bring that back around the on League of Their Own, if you guys remember the cast of that movie,
Madonna was in it, right?
It is starstruck.
Madonna, Rosie O'Donnell, Gina Davis.
Rosie O'Donnell, John Lovitz, Tracy Ritter, who else? There were several other.
Anne Cusick. It was directed by Penny Marshall, was it not?
Bill Pullman, Tia Leone.
Oh yeah, Bill Pullman plays Gina Davis's husband.
I mean, that was a star-clad movie, and it was just amazing the cast that they had for that. And when you go back and think about
A League of Their Own. That was a for the last podcast, the best fictional teams we did for the last mini episode. That was one of my runners for best team was the Rockford Peaches.
Yeah,
that's the one I almost
would have been high up there
because they were high up there. They were one of the top four or five that I was thinking of before I decided my top two.
But were they better than the Racine Bells, Phil?
I can't answer that.
Well, Phil, let me spin it. Which character? If you took him out of that team, just to pull a little from the last podcast, which character, if you pulled it out of that team, would the team fall apart?
It's got to be Gina Davis.
I mean, to me, it was Gina Davis.
It's got to be, doesn't it? We're saying you take Tom Hanks out.
All right, my question.
But he's not a player.
My question.
That's true.
My question with the very last play where Dottie goes and misses and the ball rolls out of her glove for her sister's team to win. Was that part intentional?
Yes.
Do you say it was, or do you think it was completely unintentional?
No, I 100% believe she threw it. She threw it.
I don't believe that she threw it. That would have been completely out of character. And, you know, just to kind of tie into the whole emotional thing that we're supposed to be talking about here and not Tom Hanks. But
Tom Hanks is emotional, Robert.
But the end of that scene, the end of that movie is brilliant. Whole, you know, sister, I forget what the sister's name was in that movie. She made the error that allowed for Rockford to actually take the lead. And she's over there and she's crying in the dugout and, you know, is a very average athlete myself. I believe that I probably had a few moments like that where I can sympathize.
It was Kit, is her name.
Yeah, Kit. That's right. And to kind of touch upon the whole, is it intentional or intentional? I really strongly believe that it was unintentional. And I believe that Dot really was trying to make the play, but Kit actually successfully beat Dot.
I mean, this could be a discussion for when we actually discuss that movie, which will probably be down the line.
I was going to say, that
is one we should do.
It is.
That's one we should do.
I think
the wives would appreciate it.
Back to that Hall of Fame thing, you know, or that
probably would be a good wives.
You know, that's kind of like a
part,
a sensitive part or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
I was kind of surprised, Bud, that you didn't mention Remember the Titans as your movie for this. Because
honestly, there weren't any parts that made me choke up in that. You could say when the dude got in the car wreck, but I don't know. That just felt like
the end of the movie.
Which part?
Well, I mean, so doesn't Bétière die?
Yeah, he dies. I think dies in the recap or something.
Yeah, it's like
he dies. But with the car wreck, I don't know. Maybe it was the way they did it, but it didn't choke me up.
Yeah. But it's like people die in car wrecks every day.
There at the hospital.
Kind of like our last episode, I feel this could be, and Brad mentioned the last one, I believe that this one could be seen many different ways.
Yeah.
Like Best Fictional Team could have seen it however you want to do. But I feel like this one could be, choke you up as in making you extremely sad, or choke you up as in being extremely happy, goosebumps type of feeling. Because like Rudy, I love Rudy, but I didn't.
Yeah, like Rudy. Rudy like, didn't choke up because you're sad. It's because you're like happy and proud of him.
So it's
like,
a goosebump type. Like it gives you goosebumps during it. It's not like extremely sad. So Remember the Titans doesn't really make me sad necessarily. I mean, maybe the car wreck. There are parts that may. But at the end of the movie, I get goosebumps and it gets me choked up because of being happy and feeling good about the movie. So I feel like you could take it either way.
Yeah.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
Well, I was due. Yeah.
And yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, maybe that was on me for not asking the question in a different way, but that's kind of what I was looking for was,
what's your choice, Joshua?
I like the interpretation.
I like the, you can take it either way. It has more of a conversation. So no, that's fine.
Yeah, cool. All right. Well, for me, okay. So honestly, you guys, I came in with a few because, you know, I kind of planned to go last and I knew you guys would pick some. And you guys have picked like most of my movies. I do have one that you didn't pick that I'm going to say, but I mean, Cinderella Man, that's awesome. You know, the Rudy scene when he finally comes out on the field pumping his fist, you know, after all of the buildup and stuff, that's really cool. You know, I like, yeah, I think A League of Their Own, you know, they had like a couple of good moments in it, you know, like Brad pointed out. So obviously those were all good. And yeah, actually I had thought about, you know, I didn't think anybody would say Brian's Song. So that was the one that I was going to say, because I thought that movie was really good. I think Bud even remembers he and I had a football coach one time tell us that was the only movie that ever made him cry, you know, so I thought that was kind of funny. But so the one that you guys didn't take, and it is kind of sappy, but the one that I would say is at the very end of Angels in the Outfield, okay, like the GM, George Cox, you know, he finally agrees, you know, it's Danny Glover, he finally agrees to adopt Roger, you know, and then Roger's like, well, you know, his little friend who's real quiet and stuff, JP, he doesn't say much, but he's going to be real sad because he doesn't want to be by himself and everything. He's like, of course we're going to take JP too. And so, and then JP's all happy and runs over and stuff, and it's kind of like a happy moment or whatever. And you know, after they had lived through all the stuff and they're in this like orphanage and all this stuff the whole time. So I don't know, kind of, I watched it recently, kind of got me a little bit. And you had the lead in to that already. They also got you with, you know, Tony Danza, you find out he's like the nice guy, Mel, I think his name was. And then it's like the angel reveals to him, hey, by the way, this guy's got cancer. He doesn't even know it yet. He's going to be dead in a year. So they really like kind of whack you with a bunch of like sad stuff at the end of that movie. But yeah, that part in particular, I don't know that it raises to the level of the ones you guys said, but you know, I wanted to have one, you know, I wanted to have one to cover too. So that one got me. So
I love that pick. You mentioning JP, it just kind of makes me really think back on that movie and how I love that movie.
He's
and,
such a cute kid, you know, and it's like at he's the such end,
a great. He could just be a total spare sidekick, you know. Yeah. Child actors suck in general. He is really good in that movie. Whoever the actor was, you know, the kid actor was, and actually is really good in that. It makes you really love that kid.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just at the end of it when it's revealed that he's Roger's being adopted, you feel horrible for JP in that scene. And then the whole, well, we could never leave JP. And then he like turns around and goes, I heard that. And
he comes running out. You're kind of like, no, don't do it.
that's kind of a heart melter moment. Oh, that's total Disney ending.
that's a great pick. That it's interesting to think about, because that movie wouldn't come to me when I think about tears or making me feel those feelings of sadness or whatever you want to say. But it's interesting how, because I think about the baseball aspect. So you bringing that up reminds me, oh yeah, there is the sadness and those type of feels as a part of these movies. And also the fact that this movie is not on Disney Plus yet is ridiculous.
Right.
Why isn't it on Disney Plus? I want to know.
Honestly,
write your congressman.
It's been so long since I've seen Angels in the Outfield. I honestly totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
So thank you, Josh.
We found it on some streaming service and we're like, you know, we showed the kids because we're like, oh, this was a movie. We haven't watched this forever. I don't even remember how it goes, you know. And so that's when I watched it. Yeah. And it was only a couple of months ago. And so,
Since we're talking about Tom Hanks and movies that choke you up, man, and I just watched this like maybe like a year ago, so it's fresh in my mind. But like that part in Forrest Gump where he's like talking to Jenny's grave and he's like, I'm going to miss you, Jenny. You know, like that part does kind of choke me up.
Yeah.
Like thinking about Tom Hanks and like, you know, sad stuff, like No matter how many times I've seen Forrest Gump, like that part still kind of gets me a little bit. I know it's not a sports movie, but.
Well, I'll allow it because he's a running back. He briefly returns kicks for the University of
Alabama. That's true. And he was an All-American, so you could argue Forrest Gump has some sport element to it.
that's an interesting question to ask on one of these podcasts is what totally non-sports movie. Look, Forrest Gump is not a sports movie, but what scene in a non-sports movie really is about, what's the best sports scene in a non-sports movie? Forrest Gump is an Alabama running back, or even it's a ping pong.
He's champion. A kick returner.
And he's a ping pong champion too in China.
And he's a runner.
Yeah. That's an interesting.
He's a cross country runner, an All American football player, and an Olympic ping pong player.
And he got shot in the butt.
And he knows how to cook a lot of shrimp.
And there's a Weird Al song called Gump to the tune of Lump.
Oh, God. I knew he had to work in Weird Al at some point.
Had to work it in.
You know, one movie that isn't going to be mentioned, but I have to throw it out there. It's old, guys. It's really old. The Pride of the Yankees. Have you guys ever seen it?
Is that the
Luke Gehrig?
That's something about Luke Gehrig, yeah.
I actually have seen it.
Yeah. That's got to be one of the most famous tear-jerking scenes of all time. Sports movies aside, when he stands up there and goes, "Today I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth." There is not a dry eye to be had.
Well, I think what makes that movie and Brian's song so emotional is that they're true stories. I mean, like that really happened.
Exactly. That was what my point was at the very beginning. Man, the historical drama, like non-fiction, that is what really gets at you. Seabiscuit is an emotional trip, and when that movie first came out, I laughed at it and said, I'm not gonna go see the damn horse movie, but I think it was one of those random nights in the dorm, and for some reason I rented Seabiscuit. I don't know how that happened. But I remember sitting there and like, well, I guess I'm watching Seabiscuit tonight.
I was bored and
I watched the horse movie. And that's one of my favorite movies, not just sports. Yeah. Absolute favorite movie out there.
And I actually have not seen Seabiscuit. Such a
wonderful movie.
Good movie.
Rush.
Check it out.
Have you guys ever seen Rush?
No. Yeah, I've seen that. That's a
God,
good
man. When Niki Lauda's face is burned off, and he's up there, and the prick journalist goes, "What'd your wife say?" No, seriously, seeing yourself. What does your wife think of you? You feel some emotion on that.
Yeah,
the dude's face was burned off.
That's a good choice. I only watched that movie that one time, but yeah, so I'd forgotten about that. That's a good choice.
And I've never actually seen Cinderella Man, so I'm excited about seeing that one because I haven't
you
seen
You can definitely that, watch it. That movie. It's outstanding.
So on a smaller, I wouldn't necessarily call it really Missy Edda, really tearjerker, but what about that end scene, like I think it's the last scene of Cool Runnings.
Oh!
Where it crashes and they end up all carrying the bobsled across the finish line, walking with it. I mean, that's less of a emotional, and more of like that's an emotional really cool. inspiring.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's totally out of left field too. That movie's wacky. It's based on a true story, but it's totally a wacky family comedy movie about an actual event. But that comes out so left field and hits you so hard. That actually made my dad cry the first time we watched that.
That's one of those movies that it's fun to then look to see what actually happened. Because it's so different from the actual story. Like a lot of it is true.
The crash is real. The crash actually did happen.
And they did walk across the finish line in real life, but they pushed the sled instead of carrying
it. They didn't carry it.
That's the only thing that changed in that scene.
But it's fun because that one.
Did they kiss an egg in real life? Please tell me they kissed an egg. Sanka, you dead man.
No, not yet, mom.
You want to kiss my egg?
Mm-hmm.
You can tell the mid-90s Disney formula seemed to work on us. That goofy like movie, you know, like angels flying around doing goofy stuff, or like, yeah, all the funny stuff, and then you have like the one like thing that hits you at the end, you know.
Is this evidence that we're millennials, Josh?
Yeah, I think so. Yes.
Damn it.
But I mean, really, Cool Runnings also had John Candy, and that's just gold right there as well. I mean,
another actor that very rarely made a bad movie.
It's true. Character. He was actually underrated.
Very Great
underrated.
Outdoors is
Great Outdoors. Very is funny a classic. Movie
if anyone's ever seen it. Well, that has Dan Aykroyd again in it. And Dan Aykroyd is a national treasure, bud.
You know, I was actually looking that movie up because I was thinking about like watching it. I saw it on some streaming service. It has terrible reviews though.
What, The Great Outdoors?
Yeah, but it's
the movie's hilarious.
It's so good.
There's also Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is also a good one.
Yes. But Steve Martin.
Yeah. Well, you guys.
Uncle Buck's pretty funny.
Uncle Buck. There it is.
Uncle Buck, yes.
Yeah. Like, you cannot talk about John Candy's greatest hits and not bring up Uncle Buck. Even which, by the way, you want to feel some feels in that? I mean, Uncle Buck. When he's got the kids in the back seat and he's trying to make a choice between going to the racetrack or trying to go find a teenage girl, that's crazy. That guy is so underrated. He was a great actor.
He was a great actor.
Also, really? Spaceballs.
Spaceballs. Spaceballs, yes. And he made a brief
any Mel Brooks movie.
Yeah, Home Alone.
He made a brief appearance in Home Alone.
You know, he did that for like free.
Yeah. However, yeah, there was.
It was all shot in one day with his scenes.
Mm-hmm.
He did not know that he was going. He did it as a favor to come on set. They kept him basically as a prisoner for 24 hours.
He was in the original Vacation movie.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, he was. He was the guard or something.
The guard of Wally World.
Yeah.
He was in the classic Wagons East.
That's an underrated comedy, man. Have you guys ever seen Canadian Bacon?
No,
I have not.
Dude, I treat yourself to a ridiculous glass of maple syrup and just sit back and laugh. That is,
I don't typically
one of the most
drink maple
stupid...
syrup out of a glass, but all right.
Well, it makes you feel Canadian, bud. And if you got a Zamboni, a glass of maple syrup, you know, and you like to say "Hey," this is the movie for you.
Actually, he's also in my favorite Bill Murray movie, Stripes. A good one.
Hey Josh,
as well.
Yeah. I seem to remember somebody who lives in your household and just drinking straight maple syrup one time.
I cannot confirm or deny that, but that may have.
This tastes like pure sugar because that's what it is.
There's a reason for that. All right, well, hey, it's been awesome hanging out with you guys. Hopefully you've had a chance to listen to us, and maybe we reminded you of some good movies, or if you haven't watched these movies, maybe it'll give you a good place to start. And now I'm going to kick it over to Brad so that he can do the final preview of our next month's main movie podcast. Go ahead, Brad.
Well, thank you, Josh. Next month, we're going to take a little different direction, and we're going to head towards the wonderful world of the WWE. We're going to be watching a 2019 release called Fighting With My Family that's loosely based on a true story of a young woman who finds herself training in to try to live out her and her family's dream. So it's called Fighting With My Family, and you can find it currently on various streaming services, including Hulu and Amazon Prime. So go check it out and join us next month.
See you, world.